The mission statement of the Robert E. Weber Institute for Worship Studies is this: IWS forms servant leaders in Christian worship renewal and education through graduate academic praxis grounded in biblical, historical, theological, cultural, and missiological reflection in community. One more time. The Robert E. Weber Institute for Worship Studies forms servant leaders in Christian worship renewal and education through graduate academic praxis grounded in biblical, historical, theological, cultural, and missiological reflection in community. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Almighty God, who pours out on all who desire it the spirit of grace and of supplication, deliver us when we draw near to you from coldness of heart and from wanderings of mind, that with steadfast thoughts and kindled affections we may worship you in spirit and truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to clarify with you just a little bit about what the presidential address is all about. Some of it's laying out some vision for the school, but most of it is speaking to the mission and applying the mission of IWS to what we do in our everyday life. It's coming up with the so what of the mission statement. Mission statements quite often are crafted and put on a shelf and they gather dust for years and years and years. Not so here. We keep the mission statement before us because it was finally crafted by our founder and by the faculty and the staff of IWS, and actually by a wide contingency that included students and alumni and even board members in that process. So we keep it before us at all times. So my intention is to relate the presidential address to the mission statement and talk about the so what. In January and June of 2011, we discussed the book by James K.A. Smith, Desiring the Kingdom, Worship, Worldview, and Cultural Formation. Dr. Smith posits the need for Christian higher education to focus more on forming the hearts of students rather than only informing the minds. It's about spiritual transformation rather than educational transaction. And that's what IWS is about. Spiritual transformation rather than educational transaction. Right? In January 2012, I talked about the book called Untamed Hospitality. I love that title. Untamed Hospitality. Welcoming God and Other Strangers by Elizabeth Newman. From the beginning, IWS was designed and launched with a strong orientation toward building a hospitable environment. In fact, Bob Weber used to say that the real sign of the Holy Spirit is not whether people would jump on pews or swing from chandeliers or manifest all kinds of odd and different sort of things, but it's whether they were hospitable and easy to get along with. I think he's right. Today, I'm not talking about a book. I want to talk about the part of the mission statement that says IWS forms servant leaders in Christian worship renewal. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21 says this: from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I had the great privilege last month of going to South Asia to visit my daughter. She is working with the International Justice Mission in South Asia, and she's working in the area of rescuing people from bonded labor. It was a miracle that I got there in the first place, actually. I wasn't planning on going, and through a real miracle of the Lord, I was able to go and visit her. As I was getting ready to go on the airplane, my wife handed me a book. It's called Wrapped in Rain. It's a novel. I don't read novels very often. I admire those who do, but I never seem to have time. I'm always reading books about higher education or about theology or worship or music or things of that sort. But I decided, she said, you need to read this and find a way to relax a little bit. And I thought, okay, all right. So I took it with me. Got there midnight on Thursday, and Friday I had the day pretty much to myself. And so I began working on a talk. I had to give a talk to the International Justice Mission office that where my daughter works. I had to give a talk actually to two different IJM offices while I was there. So I was reading this during my first day in South Asia, and this just jumped out at me in this book. The protagonist says this: if your head swells, your heart shrinks. Jumped off the page at me. I would for you too. When your head swells, your heart shrinks. So it began me to take me on a journey of thinking about IJM and IWS. And there are two truthful but sort of opposing perspectives for both of our organizations. Here they are. And this applies to IWS students and alums and faculty. The International Justice Mission is on the cutting edge of biblical justice ministry around the world. They just received a multi-million dollar grant from Google to do structural transformation in South Asia. And my daughter is working within that particular project. This fall, I had the privilege of going to Moody Bible Institute and to Wheaton College and for grad school fairs. I set up a table for IWS. And the students would come around and talk to me, and they would be interested in what IWS was about. And then I would mention to them that my daughter was working with IJM, and their eyes would come alive, and their conversation would become more animated. Vaughn Crow Tipton, where are you, Vaughn? Vaughn told me that on his campus they have a chapter of IJM at Furman. I bet there's no IWS chapter there yet, right? But you're going to form one, aren't you? Of course, yeah, right. So in the area of biblical justice ministry, IJM people are like rock stars. Likewise, IWS is on the cutting edge of worship education. In October, as you probably know, or you may not know, worship leaders cited IWS as the industry standard for excellence and theological foundation. And this reinforces what I shared with the board back in June of last year. The reputation of IWS is steadily growing worldwide, while remaining rooted in the theological perspectives and the relational sensibilities and the pedagogical philosophy of our founder, Bob Weber. It seems to be that IWS is being perceived as one of the leading schools in the world in worship education, maybe in some places the leading school in the world. So that's one truth. But there's another truth, too. The problem that we're working to solve is overwhelming. With the International Justice Mission, the bonded labor work in South Asia, they have released 4,000 people from bonded labor situations, emancipated them, given them citizenship, rights as humans. But there are 40 million people in bonded labor. That's 0.01%. It's a huge, huge problem. I was sitting with a Hindu doctor on the airplane, Hindu doctor from Atlanta, actually. We were riding on the airplane together to South Asia. And this is what he said. He said, I admire the work your daughter is doing, but the problem is growing faster than the NGOs can keep up. You see, it's like It's a drop in the bucket. And the bucket's getting bigger. Toward the end of his life, Bob Weber said this. He said, after a lifetime of teaching worship renewal, I don't see that it has had any effect. When you reach the end of your life, you look back and you want to know that you've had some impact somewhere. He said, I don't see that it's had any effect. You see, worship renewal can be viewed as a drop in the bucket, and the bucket's getting bigger. So we have these two truthful opposing perspectives. We're doing great work. You're doing great work. But the problem is enormous, and it can be overwhelming. But there is yet good news. You see, it's not up to us. The successes or the failures, it's up to God in Christ by the Holy Spirit. We don't need to, in fact, we absolutely should not feel responsible for accomplishing our mission. You should work hard. You should trust the results to God. In fact, Daryl shared last night with the faculty that we need to have childlike trust. The kind of trust with a weaned child standing by its mother. Trusting in God, that God will bring it about. We need to have that kind of trust in God. Scriptures say it's not by power, nor by might, nor by degrees in higher education, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Do you know the church has always and everywhere accepted two sacraments? Do you know that? Always, everywhere, has accepted two sacraments. Do you know what they are? First one, Christ is the sacrament of the Father. He is the revelation of God. Second, the church is the revelation of Christ. He's the church, the gathered community, is the sacrament of Christ. Those two sacramental sensibilities the church everywhere has always accepted. So, you could read Second Corinthians like that, like this. You could say this. In Christ and in us, in you and in me, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. God is reconciling the world to himself. And yet we have the privilege of participating and cooperating with his work. God was in Christ, but also in us as the ongoing incarnation of Christ, reconciling the world to himself. You can even look at this in the strategy of God's reconciling work in creation was for his son, Jesus, to pour his life into 12 ordinary, fairly unremarkable men. There's hope for us, isn't there? Thanks be to God. When I was at IJM, one of the staff members there had a banner behind his desk that said, he must increase, but we must decrease. John 3:30. See, that's it. He must increase, but we must decrease. We don't have to sell worship renewal. We need to be willing to cooperate and participate in the work of God for the sake of Christ and for the increase of his kingdom. That's good news for you, for your churches and for your schools, whatever ministry that you happen to be in, we're trying to work in worship renewal. Our accreditation consultant told me this one time. He works in a large denomination, and Bob Weber spoke at their national convention. And after he spoke, some folks went back home and they applied something that Bob said in his talk. And then they would come back together and they say, now we're worshiping like Bob Weber taught us to worship. They did one thing. And my friend was really frustrated by that. He said, they're not worshiping like Bob Weber told them, or like the scriptures told them to worship. They're just doing one thing. And I said, but you misunderstand Bob. Bob saw one thing as a huge success, as a way forward. You see, if renewing the worship of the church is up to me, or if it's up to you or us together, or even up to IWS, or even up to the writings of Bob Weber or any other worship theologian, we will all fail miserably. You see, because I can never do enough or be good enough. The truth is, I don't love God with all my heart. I want to, but I fall short. I don't live as consistently a Christ-like life as I want. You can ask my wife. You can ask my staff. I want to, but I fall short. I don't worship as wholeheartedly with as much abandon as David did, or as Jesus did. I want to, but I fall short. I don't fully commit my successes, or especially my failures, as a worship leader, and as a president, as a father, as a husband to the Lord. I want to, but I fall short. I fall short. I suspect you do too. If you haven't, you will. But to quote Bob Weber, I know a man who identified fully with my humanity, my weaknesses and my failures, yet without sin. He took my weaknesses and my failures to the cross, and through his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his ongoing intercession on my behalf and on your behalf, he proclaimed victory over my faults. He proclaimed victory over lagging worship renewal. He proclaimed victory even over bonded labor and human trafficking. Trampling down all the powers of sin, death, hell, and the grave forever. And his name is Jesus. All we need do is trust in him, casting our cares upon him, our successes upon him, our failures upon him, for he cares for us. And he cares for the entirety of his creation. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold. Pour out your Spirit upon all flesh and hasten the coming of your kingdom. Lord, deliver us in our various occupations from the service of selfish ambitions and agendas, that we may do the work you give us to do in childlike trust, in truth and in beauty, and for the common good. For the sake of him who came among us as one who serves, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.